Hey guys, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about how the mind-body connection works for those with neurodiversity, for the right brain thinkers. Now, I want to be really clear, this is from my personal perspective, and listen away, see how you feel, see if this kind of resonates with you, and you might be sitting there nodding, going, wow, that is exactly like me, or hey, I know a couple of people like that. Because I think it's a really important conversation to have. I'm going to call this episode, you know, mind-body connection, or probably something even more obscure. But let's dive into this episode and talk about it. Okay, so how did this topic come up? You know, I woke up this morning quite early. You know, we've got school holidays at the moment, so there is a 6-year-old who. Again, with quite a very energetic mind. Was up at about 4:40. I feel for Holly, sending her my love every moment because she kindly got up and looked after her, even though she was tired. The challenge that came from that is once my little eyes wake up, it's very hard for me to get back to sleep when my brain starts ticking along, like many of us. So I just say, hey, these days I nod and I get up and keep going. And so, you know, fast forward to 10 a.m. this morning, and I've had a cup of coffee, I've had some water, and I haven't eaten at all. I have not really felt like eating. You know, my body has not felt like eating. And it's winter over here, so it's the absolute opposite of the Northern Hemisphere, where I hear everyone is melting in the heat at the moment. We are very, very cold. And so I've got to 10 a.m., I've been sitting here in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt with the window open, and just imagine how cold that is. And I felt a little bit cold, but not remarkably. You know, my mind is not going, you are freezing, put on a jumper. You know, it's just not saying that. That connection just isn't, you know, I'm struggling with that. I'm really struggling with it. I'm naturally hot-blooded, and that's the perception I have of myself. But I didn't put on a jumper until, as I say, about 20 minutes before this podcast. And the minute I put that jumper on, I'm like, wow, that feels great. I feel so much better. I feel so much more comfy in my skin. That was the right thing to do. High five. That is awesome. Now, you might be sitting there from a point of view going, that seems obvious. It's cold. Put clothing on. Now, from a knowledge base kind of perspective, it makes complete sense. I agree. I understand when you're cold, you put a jumper on. The challenge is if my brain doesn't recognize it or doesn't really connect the dots very well in that respect, it means I don't do it. Now, this happens the same with getting thirsty and eating. Now, this can go down two paths for those with neurodiversity. And I see this a lot with ADHD and, again, the dyslexic side of that. Everything is pretty linked. I look at those with ADHD, they either can become quite overweight because there is a lack of kind of connection to their body and time. They kind of just do things for different reasons. They don't think about the consequences, all of that. But also I think there's a massive disconnect between hunger response, hunger in the body, and actually eating. Many of us are known for not eating till later because we just kind of get so hyper-fixated on something we're doing. It just kind of, we just don't eat. And then we eat a lot more later on when we get going. Now, the same thing can happen. I've seen some very skinny people with ADHD. And you know, their challenge can be is they get so distracted while they're eating, they forget to eat enough. And that can be a challenge in itself. I know personally, I had to, you know, I learned this when I was a kid. And I don't know where I learned this or how I learned it. But, you know, I would completely eat in an unpresent way. So I was completely watching TV or doing something while I was eating, and I wasn't even connecting what I was eating and my, you know, actually eating to reality. Like it was just, it ended up leading to overeating and a bunch of challenges in that respect, right? You know, and it's the same when I drink. It's why I have to be so careful with alcohol, is that I can drink so much so quickly because I'm just not connecting that mind, body, you know, world kind of conversation. And so at 10 a.m., I go and have a smoothie. And as I'm starting to drink, I'm like, wow, sheesh, I am actually really, really ravenous. And this is why my energy is low, is because I haven't eaten anything. And, you know, you can't, sadly, caffeine can only do so much. The old coffee mug is only going to help me in so many ways. But to have a good quality smoothie or anything would give me that little push to keep going. But it brings me back to this challenge that many of us have is we're not great at listening to the signals of our body. We're not great at being completely present in the moment. You know, personally, I've had some, you know, it's interesting. I've had moments in my life where I've been so present, it's created like a traumatically valuable memory. You know, my belief is that the visual memories you remember as a kid are usually something that was amazingly good or bad. That's kind of the stuff that kind of sinks in. Like, I've got a memory of asking a girl out on a date when I was about, I want to say, 6 years old. I was on a bus. I turned around. I asked a girl who must have been about 14 out on a date at 6 or 7 or something crazy like that. And sadly, she rejected me. I know that's gonna break some hearts on this podcast. But I was rejected. It's me being vulnerable. And that memory has stuck with me forever. You know, and you know, we're not going to dig deep into the psychological challenges that has probably caused me, but. But what I mean by that is, you know, the moments I've had in my life where I've been completely present in the moment. You know, I remember a time when I would have been probably 4 or 5 and I was playing in the forest. I want to say forest. It wasn't really a forest. It was like an overgrown garden in an old house. And there was this giant kind of, not a cactus that wouldn't work, but kind of like a flax kind of plant. And it had these massive leaves that were bigger than me. And I could literally lie on a leaf and look up at the sun. Now, I had my eyes closed, of course. I'm not crazy. But I could feel the sun on my face. And there was a moment there as a kid where I just remember this moment, you know, for no other reason than I was just completely inside my body and I felt everything. And there's a few of those moments through my life which have really resonated, have been there. But the reason I say that is, the reason it actually stuck out is that it's so often I'm not present, or the energy I have to put on to be present, and that's why I meditate so much, is I'm continually trying to train my body to become more present in the moment and be able to feel these things, because it isn't natural. Where in myself, I feel very... what's the phrase? I feel very empathetic with energy outside of myself. I'm very connected. I can read other people very well. I can read people super well. I can know, you know, a lot of that is very, I guess, inbuilt in my energy. But my self-identification, myself, my body, my mind, how it all connects is super challenging. And I know it's affected me in a bunch of ways over time. You know, I can sit here and try and be working. And, you know, for the last, I've probably started at 8:30. It's quite an early morning for me, if I'm honest. You know, an hour and a half, I've been working here and I've been freezing. And I haven't even really recognized it because I've been so focused on what I'm trying to do. I'm not actually taking the time to self-care and look after myself because I'm not present in my body going, wow, I'm freezing. Oh, wow, I'm really hungry. I could, you know, if I had a smoothie, if I'd have started at 8:30, with a smoothie and putting on a jumper and probably closing the window because it's pretty cold. You know, if I'd have done that, you know, I would have been a lot more productive. And I would start to actually, you know, those things would help. And so you probably go, okay, that's interesting. I connect with that. That's how I feel. And maybe it's not with food. Maybe it's not with heat or cooling, or maybe it's something else for you that you just don't feel connected. But how do you change that? So I definitely use meditation to help. I've started to try and use breathing more and more. I found this tool that I've just ordered, which is like, what's the best phrase? It kind of looks like a cylinder. Imagine a metal cylinder around a necklace. And I don't want to use the other term for this, but you kind of breathe in and breathe out, but it regulates your breathing. Now, it's got some sort of interesting name like Aura or Oka tube, and you breathe in and breathe out, and it slows your breath and it speeds it up. Now, I'm going to be testing this because I believe it'll help me become more present. I personally struggle with breathing. not breathing day to day. I'm pretty good at that. I've lasted this long. If anything, I'd be an expert because, you know, hey, I'm here. I don't even think about it. I just breathe. But, you know, specialist breathing where you're actually slowing yourself down and focusing, I struggle with. You know, I'm good at it for the first 12 seconds and then I'm away. Others find the same thing with meditation. They just struggle to do it and it's not their thing. I found meditation's worked, but breathing, I really, you know, I don't know. It feels too slow for me. So the benefit of having something in physical reality, and I'm really interested in testing this, is that it's there, I can see it. I don't have to remember it or anything. It's there, it's theoretically around my neck, banging around. And I can just grab it and I can take 10 seconds out to have a, you know, a couple of breaths into this thing. And in touch wood, it will help slow and bring me back into my body. Because this is our challenge. When our brains are running so quickly, we're 5 paces ahead of ourselves. And so we're not always feeling the moment. You know, many of us, when we really are successful, we don't feel successful. We just look for the next thing. It's because we're already past that moment of success in our lives. Our brains have already processed the happiness in a previous, you know, way, and they've run past it. And so, but that's a whole nother episode. I should do an episode on that because there is a lot more to it. But where do I want to wrap this episode up? I don't want to keep you here all day. You know, I like to keep these podcasts sharp, short, and interesting. What would I say is, my question to you would be, where in your life do you feel like you're just not connected between that mind and body layer? Where is it impacting you? Is it a feeling? Is it a impulse? Is it a, you know, some of us struggle to feel love, and that's even more of an autistic thing. But, you know, a lot of people can struggle with a bunch of different things. You know, where is your missing link? How can you put some energy and focus on it? How can you realize that you've actually got to create routines that bypass that natural instinct? You know, our instincts, in essence, are sometimes broken. You know, some people will say, you know, they may not agree. But I'll be honest, like, if they maybe aren't ADHD or dyslexic, or they may not have that issue, but you know, if I literally went with my instincts and just went with what I had taught, God knows where I would be. It wouldn't be a good place. You know, I'd be living for the dopamine fix, right? So we've got to balance that. We've got to actually balance the way we feel. And by getting these positive routines, even if we don't feel like doing them, they will make a difference. Whether it's going for a walk in nature or, you know, having that smoothie at a reasonable hour. You know, I've got to commit to that. I find it hard. You know, I started fasting just so I didn't have to deal with it, so I'd have an excuse. And this isn't a podcast on is fasting good or bad. I'm just saying the reason I picked it was it fitted this lifestyle. But in essence, it probably hasn't worked well for me because it's lowered my dopamine completely in the mornings and it causes issues in the afternoons. Again, that's another podcast. But where in your life do you see this? Do you notice it? How can you bring yourself back to be more present and ask yourself that question? You know, what is my body telling me? Can you close your eyes? Can you imagine, you know, what is my body telling me? Am I cold? Am I warm? And these things seem so simple, but this could make a massive impact in your life. So that's what I want to share today, guys. Have an epic rest of your day. I'm away for 4 days. I'm going to enjoy a mini holiday break, and I'll be back next week. Have an epic rest of your day.